The shiur tonight is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Maaseh. And the title of the shiur tonight is Waiting for the Kohen Gadol to Die. So the title is referencing the aspect of this week's parsha, which deals with the killer, the shogeg killer, the person who kills by accident. There's an interesting tie-in between him and the Kohen Gadol. And we're going to look in the psukim and try to understand what that tie-in is. So if we start with Bamidbar Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Chaf Beis. The Torah before this point is speaking about a murderer who murders on purpose. And now the Torah is going to speak about a murderer by accident. So we'll take it up from the Psukim, source number one on the source sheet. It says, V'im befesa beloi va hadafo, o ishlich alav kol kli belo tzidia. So as opposed to a killer on purpose, let's say somebody pushed somebody else by accident, or accidentally a stone was thrown at him and struck him without premeditation. Obechol Evan Asher Yamus Ba Below Reos Vayapel Lo Vayamos Vehulo Oyev Lo Velo Mevakesh Raso. Or if there was a stone before, sorry, it was a kli. Now it's a stone. So if any stone was thrown by accident and you didn't see the person and he ended up dying and you have no ill will towards that person, what happens? Veshavtu Oyda Bein Hamakeh Bein Goel Hadam Al Mishpatim Ailah. So there's a judgment between the person who caused this to happen, the killer by accident, and the Goel Hadam, the avenger, with regard to these things. V'hitzilu ha'idas ha'rotzeach miyad Goel Hadam, v'yishivu oso ha'idal ir miklato, asher nos shama, v'yashav ba anmos ha'kohen ha'gadol, asher mashach oso b'shem ha'kodesh. So what happens? The congregation, they save this killer by accident, the person who accidentally kills somebody else, they save him from the avenger, and they bring him into his Ir Miklat, his refuge city, the city where he's safe, and he stays there until the Kohen HaGadol, who is Moshech B'Shemen HaKodesh, until he dies. So we see from the Torah that the Shogeg, the killer B'Shogeg, his punishment is that he goes to a refuge city, and he has to live there, and we'll see later on what happens if he leaves. But he goes to a refuge city in Ir Miklat, and he has to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. Vim yatzo yitzeh rotzeach es gvul Ir Miklato asher yanush shama. And let's say this person who killed by accident leaves this city. What happens? Chav zainu matzo so goel hadam michutz legvul Ir Miklato v'ratzach goel hadam es harotzeach in lo dam. If the goel hadam, this avenger, kills the person who killed by accident, there's no culpability. Why? Because the person who kills by accident, he must stay in his city, in his refuge city, until the Kohen Gadol dies. And then only once the Kohen Gadol dies can he go back to his land and his land of inheritance. So the Torah is telling us about a specific case. The case is where a person kills by accident, b'shogeg. And we're going to explain what that case is more specifically as the shiur goes on. But the punishment is that he's not killed, the person who kills by accident, but he's sent to the Ir Miklat. And he's sent there and he has to live in this Ir Miklat, this refuge city. He's not allowed to leave this refuge city until the Kohen Gadol dies. But once the Kohen Gadol dies, then he's allowed to leave the refuge city. So the question, which we're going to take up in this week's Parsha and in the Shir, which is a basic question, what's the connection between the two? What's the connection between a person who kills by accident and the death of the Kohen Gadol? Why is it that they're somehow related, and only when the Kohen Gadol dies is the person who kills by accident, b'shogeg, allowed to leave his city and go back to his home and his inheritance, his land of inheritance? Why is it based on the Kohen Gadol's life at all? So that's the question of the shir. What is the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the killer by accident? So we look in the Gemara, it's a Mishnah. So I just want to get some more facts and try to understand the case a little bit more in depth. Let's look at the Mishnah. It's in Maseches Makos, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. It's source number two. So the Mishnah says, Echad Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, Ve'echad HaMeruba B'Begadim, Ve'echad She'avar M'Mishichuso, Machzirin Es HaRotzeach. The Mishnah says that there are three categories of Kohanim, which if they die, the killer B'Shogeg gets freed, and he gets to go home. And Rashi explains each one. Look at number three in Rashi. It says, Echad Kohen Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, Heim Kohanim Gedolim Shahayu Ad Yoshiyahu. Before Yoshiyahu, the way that a Kohen Gadol was appointed was through oil. He was anointed with oil, and that was his appointment. The Echad Hamaruba Begadim, Heim Sheshimshum Yoshiyahu Ve'elech. And after Yoshiyahu's time, King Yoshiyahu, The Kohanim Gedolim, they were not anointed with oil. Shenigna Shemen Hamishcha, because the Shemen Hamishcha was lost, it was buried. Kedamrina Behorios Vishuv Lo Nimshechu Kohanim, and at that point, because there was no Shemen Hamishcha, the Kohanim were no longer anointed. Velo Haisa Nikeres Kahuna Gedola Bahem Ela Bariboy Begadim Shemeshamesh Beches Begadim, and even though they were not anointed with oil, the only way you could distinguish between the Kohen Gadol and the regular Kohen was that the Kohen Gadol wore the eight clothing, the eight pieces of clothing of the Kohen Gadol. So that's the second category. And look at the third one. Ve'echad she'avar me'meshichuso she'ira psul b'Kohen Gadol. Let's say a Kohen Gadol has a psul. Something happens to him, to his body. Let's say he breaks his arm and he can't work. Ve'shimish acher tachtav. Somebody takes over for him. Ukshenes rape Kohen chazar la'avodaso. When he gets healed, the original Kohen goes back to his avoda. Ve'avar zem me'meshichuso. And that person who took over, he's removed from his anointed, from his replacement status. So in all those cases, the Mishnah is saying, it's not just the Kohen Gadol, but a Kohen Gadol that's anointed by oil, a Kohen Gadol that's not anointed by oil, but it's Meruba Begadim, or a Kohen Gadol that only was a temporary Kohen Gadol, if any of those people die, Machzir Nesarotzeach. It says, B'misasan, when they die, Kemosh Nemar V'acharei Mos HaKohen HaGadol Yashuv HaRotzeach. So the Mishnah is just adding to our factual knowledge of the case. So it's not that the Horeg B'Shogeg is limited from leaving the Ir Miklat until the Kohen Gadol B'Dafka specifically dies, but even a Kohen Gadol who wasn't anointed with oil, and even a Kohen Gadol who is only a temporary Kohen Gadol. And that's what the Mishnah is adding. And it goes on. The Mishnah is interesting because it says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, we're back in source number 2, end of line 1. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Meshuach Melchama Machzir Asarotzeach. He says, even the Meshuach Melchama, the Kohen who is responsible for gathering up the troops and getting them involved in war and giving them the pep rally before war, even that Kohen, if he dies, the Horeg B'Shogeg is allowed to leave the killer. He's allowed to leave the city and go back to his home. Okay, Rash is in Meshuach Melchama. Kohen Meshuach Lomar B'Melchama Tzarchei Melchama Al Yirach Levavchem Mechol Inyan. It's the Kohen who is responsible for telling the people about the war, and some people are allowed to leave. So that Kohen, the Kohen who's responsible for that, if he dies as well, this is Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Even if he dies, the Horeg B'Shogeg is allowed to leave. But the question still remains, what's the relationship between the Kohen Gadol dying and the Horeg B'Shogeg leaving the city? And then the Mishnah goes on, Imosein shel Kohanim misafkos lahen michya uchsus kidei shelo yisbalu l'abneim shiamusu. So what happened? The mothers, the Jewish mothers of these Kohanim, of any of these Kohanim, they would go to the cities of refuge and they would provide the killer B'Shogeg with food and also provide them with clothing so that they wouldn't daven that their sons be killed and die. Why? Because the Horeg B'Shogeg, he wants the Kohen Gadol to die. If he dies, then he's free. Then the Horeg B'Shogeg is free. So the mothers, the Jewish mothers, they would go there and they would try to help their sons out by providing food and clothing to the Horeg B'Shogeg. Okay, so it's an interesting Mishnah. And the Mishnah is just expanding the category of Kohanim Gedolim. But we still have to answer the main question of the Shir. The main question being, what is the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the Horeg B'Shogeg? So let's look in Rashi to explain that. So he gives two answers. And look at number 4. And they're very difficult. The first, it's at Chaf He, it's by Pasuk Chaf He, Rashi. It says, An Mos HaKohen HaGadol. The Horeg B'Shogeg, he stays in the refuge city until the Kohen Gadol dies. Shehu ba l'hashrosh shechina b'Yisrael. U'l'harech yimeyam. The purpose of the Kohen Gadol is to bring the shechina amongst Yisrael and to allow it to dwell amongst Yisrael. U'l'harech yimeyam. And thus lengthen their lives. V'harotzeach bal desalek es hashechina. But the rotzeach, he comes to be mesalek, to remove the shechina b'Yisrael. U'mekater es yimei hachayim. And thus he shortens the life of the people. Eino kedai shiye lefnei kohen gadol. It's not appropriate, and it's not responsible for this Horeg B'Shogeg to be before this kohen gadol. So the first answer of Rashi is that what's the relationship between the kohen gadol and the Horeg B'Shogeg? The kohen gadol's job is to bring the shechina in Klal Yisrael, and also as a result, b'marach imeim, lengthen their lives. But the rotzeach, he comes to remove the shechina. And as a result, he shortens their life. So it's inappropriate for the Horig B'Shogeg to be in the face of the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, it must be that the Kohen Gadol dies in order for the Horig B'Shogeg to be freed. So this Rashi is a lot of questions, very troublesome. Namely, because the Rotzeach over here, he's not coming on purpose. It says, HaRotzeach Bal Lesalek Es HaShechina. Is that really the purpose of the Horig B'Shogeg? The Horig B'Shogeg is not killing to be Mesalek Es HaShechina, he's just killing by accident. So what does Rashi mean, or why does Rashi say that there's this problem and there's this and there's this conflict between the Kohen Gadol and this type of Rotzeach? Fine, I understand a Rotzeach B'Mezid, he's doing it on purpose. But here the Rotzeach is B'Shogeg. So what is the relationship, and what does it mean, HaRotzeach Bal Lesalek Es HaShechina? Furthermore, what does it even mean that the Kohen Gadol, how can we explain it more and try to understand what it means that the Kohen Gadol, his job is to bring about the Shechina in Klal Yisrael, whereas the Rotzeach produces the opposite, or he's trying to do the opposite. What exactly is that? What does that mean? What's the problem? And what exactly, maybe we can focus on specifically, what the problem is for a Horig B'Shogeg to be out of his city when the Kohen Gadol is operating and he's alive. So that's the first answer of Rashi. And I'm going to read through the second answer of Rashi, but we're going to just try to explain the first answer. The second answer says, Davar Acher, Lefish Hayolo LeKohen Gadol LeHispalo Shelo Te'are Takala Zu LeYisrael B'Chayev. The other answer, which is even harder to understand, is that the Kohen Gadol is somehow responsible because he should have davened that this not happen, that this death by accident not happen in his lifetime. So somehow he's responsible. That's what it sounds like from Rashi. And it's a question, I mean, why is the Kohen Gadol really responsible? It's his job to ensure that something doesn't happen by accident. So the question is, how is he responsible? And it doesn't really explain that relationship very, very clearly. Okay, the next Rashi just explains that. We're going to skip the next Rashi, but we're going to try to explain the two answers. So let me just summarize the two answers. The first answer is that the Kohen Gadol's job is to bring about the Shechina in Yisrael and thus lengthen their lives, but the Rotzeach comes to do the opposite. And we have to explain that. The Rotzeach over here is B'Shogeg. And what's the problem exactly with the Rotzeach B'Shogeg being there in the face of the Kohen Gadol? So we'll take that up first. So I want to understand this answer in Rashi. So I was trying to think of an example. And but anybody have a possibility on the phone line before I try a theory or a possibility to explain Rashi? If anybody wants to, just stop me. Okay, so I think the idea that Rashi is getting at, so we have to break down the components. So what does it mean that the Kohen Gadol is Ba Lahashro Shechina? What does it mean? What does it mean Lahashro Shechina in general? So what is the Shechina? So the Shechina is the presence of God in this world. And it doesn't mean that God is there. God doesn't take form. He's not physical. But the Shechina is the idea that there are opportunities given to Klal Yisrael to see God and to understand God and to be aware of God. And the Shechina is situations, specifically like the Mikdash, where the Shechina is most pronounced. There are situations and areas in this world and situations, events, that allow us to understand and be aware of God to a greater degree, on a deeper level. And the Kohen Gadol, what does it mean that it's his job to be Lahashro Shechina? So the Kohen Gadol, his whole job is to be Oved, is to serve God. And the premise of Avoda is that there's a relationship between man and God. There would be no purpose in serving God if there is no relationship between man and God. So the purpose of the Kohen Gadol, one of his main jobs, is Lahashro Shechina, that people, when they see the Kohen Gadol, they recognize that there's a relationship between Hashem and the people. And he brings that about. His operations and his personality and him and his job and his role, all those elements bring about a recognition of God's presence in this world, that God interacts with this world, that he has a relationship with this world. So what is it? What's the opposite? The Rotzeach. So yeah, I was thinking of an example. Whenever there's a war, there's always a response. A typical response in a war is, how could God let this happen? That happens all the time, specifically with the Holocaust, but any war. How could God let this happen? So whenever there's a murder or death, there's this premise in the psyche of people, of normal people, that somehow God should be there to protect and to prevent. And even though God, Hashem, he created man with free will, and man's allowed to kill somebody else, and that's part of man's free will. But nevertheless, whenever there's a murder and particularly by accident, because it's not clear that man did it. But whenever there's a murder, in general, there's always this feeling that God should have intervened and he should have prevented it. So the murderer, when you see the murderer and it reminds you of what happened, it tends to lead a person to the opposite conclusion emotionally. It leads a person to the idea that God does not interact with the world. And that if God had interacted with the world, especially if it's a loved one, had God interacted with the world, this wouldn't have happened. So even though rationally, from a rational perspective and a philosophical perspective, you know, it's not really true that if a person dies, it means that God is absent. But emotionally, when people see that and they see or they associate to a murder and to death, they usually associate with that answer, that response emotionally, that how could God let this happen? So the idea is that the two are antithetical, meaning the Kohen Gadol, his purpose and his job is to promote one idea, to promote that Hashem has a relationship with us. And when we see the Kohen Gadol, we're supposed to be reminded of that and know that there is that intervention in that relationship. But the Ritzicha, they do the opposite. They produce emotionally the opposite result, that God must not interact with man because how could he let this happen, that he should have interacted. So it must be that he does not have a relationship with man. And therefore, that's what the Rashi is saying, the first answer. It's not appropriate. It's eno kedai shiya lifnei kohen gadol, meaning that the kohen gadol's mission is compromised when the ritzicha is out and about, when the ritzicha is out and about, as the kohen gadol is operating, there are two contradictory roles. And the ritzicha, he gives off the impression that there is no relationship between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, whereas the kohen gadol, his job is to give off the opposite. So therefore, the ritzicha b'shoge, he has to be in the city of refuge, in the Ir Miklat, until the Kohen Gadol dies. Because they can't operate together. They contradict one another, and the Kohen Gadol's mission is compromised by the presence of the Rotzeach amongst the people. So that's the first idea in Rashi, and I think it's a really interesting idea and an interesting approach. So the way to explain it is to just break down the different components, the idea of Shechina, L'Hashra Shechina, and understand the Kohen Gadol's role, and also it's the Rotzeach Balasalik as a Shechina, to answer that, it doesn't even mean if a person kills on purpose, but even a killer by accident, killing in general creates that emotional response, that how could God let this happen, even especially by an accident, but how could God let this happen, and the Kohen Gadol is trying to do the opposite. So therefore, they can't coexist in society with one another. So that's one idea. But now we have to get to the other. What is this concept that the Kohen Gadol, his tefillah, the second answer of Rashi, look at number 4, it says, Davar acher, lefisha hayalo lekohen gadol lehispalel shelo te'ara takala zuli yisrael b'chayov, that it's really, it sounds like the Kohen Gadol is responsible for this. What does it mean that the Kohen Gadol is responsible for this? He has to prevent anything that happens, any accident? And the Rabbeinu B'chai, look at number 5, he says something similar, v'yashav ba'ad mos ha'kohen gadol darshi razal, Tala Kasab Kaparaso Shal Rotzeach Bishogig Bemisaso Shal Kohen Gadol. The atonement of the killer Bishogig is tied to the death of the Kohen Gadol, Bepnei Shehu Mechaper Al Kol Yisrael. Because the Kohen Gadol provides atonement for all of Yisrael, the Hayalo Levakesh Rachamim Al Bnei Doro Velo Bikesh. He should have been Mevakesh Rachamim, mercy for his people of a generation, and he didn't. Vere Avon Haritzicha She'era Biyamov. And this sin of murder occurred in his time. So somehow he's responsible because he was not Mevakesh Rachamim, somehow he's responsible for this, and therefore the Misa of the Kohen Gadol is what allows the Horeg B'Shogeg to be free. So you have to understand, what does it mean that the Kohen Gadol is responsible? How could he be responsible for this in specific? So how do we explain this Rashi and Rabbeinu B'chai? To explain the Rashi Rabbeinu B'chai, I think you have to understand it a little bit deeper. See, the Kohen Gadol, his role is not personal, it's not for his family, but he's a leader, and he's a leader of Klal Yisrael. And when he's mispalel, particularly on Yom Kippur, but when he's mispalel in general, the idea is that the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be the least personal tefillah possible, because it doesn't relate to him at all. It's about the success and the greatness of Klal Yisrael. So I think what Rashi is saying in Rabbeinu B'chai It's not that the Kohen Gadol is specifically responsible, because it's impossible to say that. How could you say that he himself is responsible for this? But rather, what it's saying is that if the Rotzeach B'Shulgig is present and he's out, as the Kohen Gadol is around the Kohen Gadol, it affects the Kohen Gadol's mindset when he's being mispala. Meaning that the Kohen Gadol, when he's davening, he has to have in mind that his tefillah affects Klal Yisrael as a whole, and can even affect something like a Horeg B'Shogeg, because the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol relates to how God intervenes and his relationship with man. And therefore, when the Kohen Gadol is davening, he can't ignore accidents. He can't think, oh, I have no relationship to accidents, I cannot, my tefillah can have no effect on the accidents. Because the accidents, an accidental murder, could be some hashgacha, there could be hashgacha involved. So the point is that the Kohen Gadol, it's not that the Kohen Gadol is responsible, but it's that if the Horeg B'Shogeg is out and about, then it will affect the Kohen Gadol's ability to be mispalo properly. His tefillah has to be one where he recognizes that his tefillah could even affect an accidental murder. Something as far-fetched as an accidental murder in Klal Yisrael, the Kohen has to be aware of that, the Kohen Gadol, and he has to make his tefillah as all-inclusive as possible. So the idea that Rashi is saying in Rabbeinu Bechai, it's not that the Kohen Gadol is responsible, but it's that the mindset of the Kohen Gadol has to be that he has to think that his tefillah could have an effect even in that situation. And if the Horeg B'Shogeg is out and about, the Kohen Gadol, he might lack an identification with that person and say, listen, I have no responsibility for that, I have no relationship to that person, my tefillah has no effect. So the point is that the Kohen Gadol has to have in his mindset, and he has to be aware of the potential effect of his tefillah. So it's not that he's responsible, but if the Horeg B'Shogeg is out, then it will affect the ability of the Kohen Gadol to get in the right mindset in his tefillah. He has to be in the mindset where he even sees that his tefillah could affect an accidental murder. So I think that's the second answer. So we just explained Rashi. The second answer is very difficult. But let's go on a little bit. So if anybody has any questions, just like I said, stop me in the middle of the shiur and I'll come and summarize it also. So we answer Rashi. Rashi gives two possibilities, that either the Kohen Gadol's mission is compromised by the Horeg B'Shogeg, or the Kohen Gadol's mindset in his tefillah is compromised by the Horeg B'Shogeg. Okay, fine. So the Sforno, look at number 6. He's a little bit simpler. So the Sforno says, Ad mos HaKohen HaGadol, he says, Kfar bir shagolos hi ala shogeg. We already explained that gullus, that exile in the Ir Miklat, is for killing B'Shogeg. Uvios mine hashkagos bilti shavos. There are many types of accidents. Ki mehem krovos la'ones. Some accidents are closer to luck, or I wouldn't say luck, but complete, nature. Umehen krovos la'amezid. And some are close to being on purpose. Nasan legalus man bilti shava b'chol ha-shogigim. Therefore, Hashem created different time periods for their incarceration in their Ir Miklat for different time periods. Why? Ki mihem shetzia shegigaso me'at kodem misas ha-kohen. Some people, their shogeg will occur, their killing will occur right before the death of the kohen. Umehen shiyamos ha-ratzeach begalus kodem shimas ha-kohen. And some will die in their Ir Miklat. V'zeh b'mishpat hakel yisbarach. And this is with the justice of Hashem. Hayodea v'ad v'ad shiyano shesha shogeg kefi madrega shigigaso ke'amru v'alokim inali yado. And this is a perfect justice on the part of Hashem, that he understands what the shogeg, the Horeg B'Shogeg, deserves based on the type of shogeg that he does. And therefore, it's not the same for everybody. It depends on when the person was put into the Ir Miklat. If the Kohen Gadol could die 2 years after, or could die 50 years after. And the whole purpose of that is in order to give the Horeg B'Shogeg the proper punishment. So let's look at, before we answer that, and we understand that, and what the idea behind that is, let's look at just the halachos a little bit. We can get also a bigger picture of the different types of shogeg. So if you look at number 7 in the Rambam, the Rambam says in Hilchos Rotzeach Ushmir Sanefesh, Parak Vav, Halacha Gimel, he says, V'yesh Horeg B'Shgaga, V'tiyeh Hashgaga Krova La'ones. Sometimes a person kills, and his killing is complete accident. V'hu shi'era b'misa zem ora pela. When something phenomenal crazy occurs. She'eno matzui berov me'oros, that's not really found in general. So the Rambam says that if you kill by accident, and the accident is so crazy, it's such a crazy occurrence, and it would have never happened in 9 out of 10 situations, he says in that case, you're really putter from galus. You don't have to go to your Ir Maklot. And if the Goel Adam, the Avenger, kills you, he's killed. It's a murder for him. V'yesh horeg b'shgaga, v'tiyah shgaga krovel l'zadon. Sometimes you kill by accident, and it's close to being on purpose. V'hu shiyad b'davar kimo pshia, when you're more negligent. Oshia hayalo lahazir v'lo nizhar, if he should have been careful and he wasn't careful. V'dino she'eno gola, and in that case, you don't get galus. Why? Mipnei she'avono chamor, ein galus mechaperes lo, vein are miklat koltos. Because in that case, your sin was very great, and the exile doesn't provide you with atonement, and it doesn't, and the cities do not provide you with refuge. She'enon koltos ela mechuyav galus bilvad. It only saves the person who's chayev, who's obligated in galus alone. Lefichach, therefore, in matzo gol hadam b'chol makom b'hargo pater. If the avenger finds him anywhere, even in the Ir Miklat, the gol hadam is pater. What should he do? Maya says that. What should that guy do? How's he supposed to protect himself? Yeshev yishmor atzom gol hadam. He has to sleep with a knife by his head under his pillowcase in order to protect himself from the gol hadam. V'chein kol ha'ratzchanim shahargu be'ed echad o b'lo asra chiyot behen im hargan gol adam in lahem damim lo yu elu chamur mehorg b'lo kavana. So too, if you kill on purpose, but there's not enough evidence to put you away and to kill you, there that person has to always be aware that he could be killed by the avenger. So we see from the Rambam that there are different types of shogig, but the Rambam points out in the halachos that a shogig, a person who kills complete accident, he is putter from galus. The person who kills close to on purpose, even though it's an accident, he is not pater from galus. He doesn't get galus, and he can be killed at any moment. But really, the Rambam only limits the shogeg to the Ir Miklat to the case where it's not karav l'ones or karav l'mezid. But the Svarno, it sounds like he's saying differently, at least philosophically, because he says that the reason that the shogeg, his freedom, is tied to the Kohen Gadol's death is because there are different types of shogeg, and only Hashem knows when the shogeg should be freed. So what is the meaning behind this svarno? Why is it tied to the Kohen Gadol? So the concept is that when the horeg b'shogeg, when he kills, it's not purely, as we said before, it's not purely the person's decision. He doesn't want to kill. He's not killing on purpose. But there is some negligence there. In other words, if you were careful with your axe, screwed your axe on tightly, then it wouldn't kill the other person. So there's a negligence there, and there's maybe an unconscious drive or desire to kill the other person, but actively and on purpose, you're not really killing the other person. So in the actual murder itself, in the Maisa Avera, there's a combination of out of his control and within his control. So the idea is that in the Onesh of the Horeg B'Shogeg should fit the crime. And the way that the Onesh fits the crime, as opposed to Horeg B'Mezid, is that in Shogeg, there's two elements. There's that which is within man's control, meaning we place him into the Ir Miklat, and that's a punishment. But then there's also that which is outside of his control. And as the Svarno is saying, it's Hashgacha, just like his crime was one which was somewhat in his control and out of his control, so too the Onesh, the nature of the Onesh of Galus, is that it's within man's control. Man punishes him by doing this, but it's also outside of man's control because the death of the Kohen Gadol, which is Hashgacha, is in the hands of God, so to speak. So the idea that Svarno is saying is Ad Mosa Kohen Agadol, what is that adding? So it takes that man-made onesh, the man-made gullus, and it gives it the quality of Hashgacha. It gives it the quality of outside of man's ownership and outside of man's abilities to punish this guy. And the reason is because the nature of his crime had both elements. It was out of his control and out of man's control and within man's control. So the onesh should reflect the crime. And that's what gullus does. But because gullus is a man-made, it's man imposes gullus on the horeg b'shogeg, there has to be an aspect of the onesh that is outside of man's control, and that's the death of the Kohen Gadol. So that's the idea of the svarno, which is also, I think, a really nice svarno. Okay? If I'm going too fast, is anybody want me to summarize? Is it clear? Can I get some feedback on the phone line? Somebody?
It's clear. Clear. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. All right, so we have the Rashi and the Sfarno. So we have two ideas. One is the relationship of the Kohen Gadol to Hashgacha, either in his mission or in his tefillah. And the other is the idea of the Sfarno, that the punishment of the Horeg B'Shogeg has to reflect the crime. And the Misa of the Kohen Gadol, the death of the Kohen Gadol, is not within man's control, not within the Beis Din's control. And that's why it's utilized in this Onesh, to demonstrate that the Onesh fits, it fits the crime as perfectly as possible. So we have one more approach, the Chizkuni. This Chizkuni says, and this is the third approach. We had Rashi and the Sfarno, and then we'll do one more approach, the Chizkuni. So he says in number 8, the Yashav Ba Ad Mosa Kohen Agadol, Shelo Yu Olam Meraninin Ala Kohen Agadol. The people, we shouldn't see the people be happy about the Kohen Gadol, Kishiyiru HaRotzeach Yotze Chutz Le'ir Miklato. When they see the Rotzeach leaving his city of refuge, the Omrim, and they'll say, Re'isam Ze Shaharagis HaNefesh Chinam, Yotze V'Nichnas Im Bnei Adam. People will see this killer go out and say, oh, listen, he killed somebody, and look, he's out and about. V'Ena Kohen Ose Bonakama, and the Kohen can't do any revenge. V'hadavar mutal of lasos, it's upon the Kohen to do this. K'dechsev ha'ish asher yaseh bezadon levil tishmoa el ha'kohen. The man who does on purpose and doesn't listen to the Kohen, aval ha'kohen shekam acharav in l'ranin alav v'mashalo nasa b'yamav. So the Chizkuni is saying that the Kohen Gadol, he's going to be looked down upon because it's his responsibility to take revenge on behalf of, I guess, the person who was killed, or on behalf of God. And he should have killed this Horeg B'Shogeg. And the people are going to say, listen, the Kohen Gadol failed. And he quotes this pasuk. And the pasuk that he's quoting is interesting, because it's a pasuk by Zakin Mamre. Zakin Mamre is the case where a person refuses to listen to Beis Din HaGadol, and he's killed as a result. He's the rebellious person. Look at number 9. Va'ish asher yaseh bezadon levil tishmo al ha'kohen ha'omeid l'shari shamas Hashem elokecha ol ha'shofet u'meisa ishahu v'yaratah ha'ram Yisrael. That the idea over there is by the Zakein Mamre, the person who ignores Beis Din, and he ignores the Shoftim and their P'sak Din, and he does his own thing, so that person is killed. It's a very specific case. But it's funny that the Chizkuni is quoting a pasuk by Zakein Mamre, the rebellious man, and how the Kohen is supposed to take Nekama based on that. He's supposed to avenge and take revenge based on that. So why is there a connection? Why is the Chizkuni connecting the case of the Zakein Mamre to the case over here? What is the relationship between the two? So the Chizkuni gives one more possibility. So why is the Horeg B'Shogeg tied to the Misa of the Kohen Gadol? We go back to the original question. So the answer the Chizkuni is saying is that the Kohen Gadol is a leader, and the idea of him taking Nekama is that it's his job to protect the people in general. And the concept is that if you have a killer B'Shogeg, even if it's B'Shogeg out and about in front of the Kohen Gadol, in the face of the Kohen Gadol, it takes away from the leadership and this power and the strength that the people have. Sorry, it takes away from their perspective and their appreciation and also their awe of the leader. Because when you see the killer, when you see a killer, even B'Shogeg, there's a certain power there. There's a rebelliousness there, and there's also a power. And you attach that to the Horeg B'Shogeg. But when you see him and you see that he gets away with it, it takes away from the ability of the leader to lead and the ability of leader to demonstrate power. So the idea, that's the Zakein Mamre problem, that the Zakein Mamre, he compromises and he undermines the Kohen Gadol's and the Shoftim and the Beis Din's power. So the idea is that you can't have the Rotzeach B'Shogeg around until the Kohen Gadol dies. Because if he's around, if he's amongst the people, it'll create an undermining of the leadership of the Kohen Gadol and the other leaders as well. But the Kohen Gadol is the most visible leader. So the idea, and he's also appointed as that in that role, whereas the Shofet, you can say the Shofet too. But the point is that the Kohen Gadol is the leader. He's supposed to exude a certain power. And when you see a Horeg B'Shogeg, that he's unpunished and he's walking around amongst the people, it affects the people's ability to have an awe and relate to the leader and see that power of leadership of the Kohen Gadol. So that's why it's on Mosa Kohen Agadol. It's inappropriate. It's similar to Rashi, but it's inappropriate. Whereas Rashi's talking about the mission of the Kohen Gadol, the Chizkuni's talking about the leadership and the power of the Kohen Gadol. That his leadership is compromised by the Rotzeach B'Shogeg out and about amongst the people. Okay, so those are the three approaches. So hopefully it was clear. There's Rashi, Svarno, and the Chizkuni. We looked at different Rishonim. So there's one last point that I want to make, and it's a number 10. It's Admus, it's a Yerushalmi. It's the Torah Tzmima quotes it, Tanya, Hahoreg Nefesh Bishgaga Lo Haisa Lo Kapara, the Kavalo Atora Kapara. The person who's Horeg Bishogeg, who kills by accident, he doesn't have atonement. But the Torah established the atonement for this person. Shinemar Vyashav Ba Admus HaKohen Agadol. And the atonement is the death of the Kohen Gadol, that he has to stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies. So we learn from there that the Kohen Gadol is the kapara, and his death is the kapara for the Horeg B'Shogeg. And if you look at number 11 in the Medrash, it's not just by the Kohen Gadol, but it's a general approach. It says, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Avina Mipnei Ma Nismecha Parshas Miriam LeParshas Efer Para. Why is Miriam, the death of Miriam, placed next to Para Duma? Elimelamed Shekashem She'efer Para Mechaper, the ashes of the Para Duma provide atonement. Kach Misas Tzadikim Mechapera. So too, the death of Tzadikim provide atonement. There's a general principle that when Tzadikim die, it provides atonement for Klal Yisrael. And the Yerushalmi says that when the Kohen Gadol dies, it provides an atonement for the Horeg B'Shogeg. So how does this work, that the Horeg B'Shogeg gets an atonement through the death of the Kohen Gadol? So this is the last idea of this year, but Kapara always comes about, or usually it comes about through Korbanos. And the Ramban mentions that the way that Korbanos work is through identification. That when you see the Korban being killed and slaughtered, and being served to God, you identify with that korban, that you yourself deserve to die, and you yourself are willing to give up of yourself for God. And that identification with the animal is what provides you with the kapara, with the atonements, because you're able to complete the tshuva process through the ability of seeing your own demise and seeing your own death, and your ability to sacrifice yourself for God. But you're not doing it yourself, you're doing it through the animal. So too by the death of tzaddikim. See, everybody, most normal people, identify with leaders and good people. When you see a good person, you think to yourself inside, I'm like that person, most people. And you think, oh, I'm good like them. There's some aspect of you that you identify with that leader or with that person. So when a tzaddik dies, it makes you understand, or the identification is strong, and it makes you see your own demise and your own death. And that's how Kapara occurs through the death of Tzadikim as well. That when the people, when Klal Yisrael see the death of Tzadikim, it makes them reflect naturally on their own demise, and it creates a method to complete tshuva process. So too by the Horeg B'Shogeg. See, the Horeg B'Shogeg, his crime is so heinous, he killed another human being, that he can't get Kapara through Korban, through identification with an animal. But the only way that he can get it is through identification with a human being. And the Kohen Gadol was chosen, and he creates that, or that identification is created with the Kohen Gadol, or should be, and that's what provides the Kapara for the Horeg B'Shogeg. Because he can't get it through normal Korban, because his Aveira was so severe, and the result of his Aveira was so severe, that he cannot get Kapara just through a Korban alone. And therefore, the death of the Kohen Gadol is necessary in order for the Horeg B'Shogeg to see his own demise and identify and get that final element of his tshuva process. So the last answer, the last idea in the shir, is that really the Kohen Gadol, the death of it, is really necessary for the kapara, the atonement of the Horeg B'Shogeg. So let me just go back and summarize the shir just quickly. So in the shir, we took up one main question, which is, why is it that the Horeg B'Shogeg in this parsha, in Parshas Maaseh, the Horeg B'Shogeg, the person who kills by accident, when he's placed into Gullus and he's in the Ir Miklot, he's only allowed to be freed once the Kohen Gadol dies? And the Mishnah says not just the Kohen Gadol, but different types of Kohanim Gadolim, but nevertheless, the question is why. So Rashi gives two answers. One answer is that the Kohen Gadol's mission is to bring about a recognition of Hashem's interaction with this world and his presence in this world. And whenever death occurs and murder occurs, it produces the opposite effect amongst the people emotionally. How could God let this happen? So you can't have them together. You can't have the Rotzeach B'Shogeg around when the Kohen Gadol in front of the Kohen Gadol, because it compromises the whole mission and the whole role of the Kohen Gadol significantly. And the other idea is that the Kohen Gadol has to be aware of the potential for his tefillah. And if the Kohen Gadol thinks at any moment that his tefillah cannot apply to a Horeg B'Shogeg, or will not apply, or it has no power, no strength, and that his tefillah cannot affect that situation, so then his tefillah is lacking. And the point is that the Kohen has to recognize this. And by keeping the Horeg B'Shogeg in the Eir Miklat as long as the Kohen Gadol is alive, it allows the Kohen Gadol an awareness that his tefillah has a certain power and strength, and what his mindset should be when he's being mispala. So that is the idea, according to Rashi. The Sforno says that the Kohen Gadol's death is tied to the nature of the sin of the Horeg B'Shogeg, that his sin applies both man's abilities and man's power and something that's outside of man's abilities, you know, an accident. And the Onesh as well reflects that, that the Onesh of Gullus is both man-made, it's man-imposed, and also it's caused by Hashem, because the death of the Kohen Gadol, which is Hashgacha, is really in Hashem's hands. So it's really like a Midah Keneged Midah. The Chizkuni added that the Rotzeach B'Shogeg, when he's present, it compromises the power of the Kohen Gadol, that the people should view the Kohen Gadol as having a certain strength and power, and that he's responsible for taking Nekama, and that's why he quotes the Zakin Mamre Pasuk. And whenever your murderer is out and about, it affects the people's ability to see the leaders having a certain strength and power. And the last point is that the Kohen Gadol's death creates a kapara, that the Horeg B'Shogeg needs to identify with the death of a human being, of a great person like the Kohen Gadol, in order for he himself to feel that he could end up the same way, and that he's willing to sacrifice himself. And he can't do it through a korban because of the nature of his avon and his avera, and therefore the death of the Kohen Gadol is used as a kapara for him. Okay, so that's really the shir tonight. Just reviewed a lot of concepts, but hopefully it was clear. Anybody have any questions on the shir or want to add anything to the shir? Great. So everybody have a good Shabbos. Thank you.